rapture truth. I know that I said last week that I was going to teach on the reason for the rapture, and I am going to give you the reason today, and then I'm going to go more in depth into that probably next Wednesday or next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. And next week, what I'm planning on doing is talking about the timing of the rapture and the reason for the rapture. Even though we can't know the time, I think as sons and daughters of the Most High God, it shouldn't catch us by surprise. Amen. Even though it is going to be a surprise to this everybody on this earth, to us it shouldn't be. And so I had somebody ask me, you know, I was thinking about this. They said, Pastor Mark, why are you teaching on this? And here's the reason why, okay? I'm going to give you three reasons. I came up with three. Number one is if this word doesn't encourage you to be ready, you need to get saved. It encourages to be ready, but we have to occupy until he comes, right? It doesn't mean pack your bags and stand around looking up at the sky. We have to occupy until he comes, but it encourages us to be ready, to stay holy, to stay obedient, to walk with God, not to fall into sin or fall into deception. And there's a lot of sin and deception going on today. The second thing is for Christians, this word is to comfort and encourage you. It's not to scare you, okay, or to put fear in you. It's to comfort and to encourage you. And then the third thing is if you're sitting here today and you don't know if you believe in Jesus or not, this message is for unbelievers, and what it means is this: today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait until, oh, I'm in the tribulation, I should have listened to that preacher years ago. Today is the day of salvation. By faith, receive Jesus today. We're going to look at a scripture here in a little bit that says, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You want to go to the marriage supper. You don't want to go to tribulation. All right. Last week, I'm going to review just a little bit of last week, because I know we have some here that was not here last Sunday. And I encourage you to go back and listen to these. I encourage you to go back and listen to the last two messages on podcast or online. But we talked about last week, a lot of people think that the rapture is some new teaching that was developed like in the 1800s. Well, it's not. This teaching goes plumb back to the book of Genesis. The rapture, and we talked about seven raptures or resurrections in the Bible. The first one was Enoch. In Genesis, it just says Enoch was taken. He was not, and he went to heaven. He didn't die. And so there was Enoch. We looked at Enoch, and that's back in the book of Genesis. So there's your rapture back even in the book of Genesis. We talked about Moses. We talked about Elijah. We talked about the Lord Jesus himself when he ascended. We talked about the Old Testament saints that came out of their tombs. The Bible says in Matthew after Jesus' resurrection, the body of Christ, we're going to talk more about that today, the rapture of the church. And then the two witnesses in Revelation was Moses and Elijah. Some think that it might be Enoch and Elijah. I tend to think it's Moses and Elijah because I try to let Bible interpret Bible. Always when you're studying the Bible, let Bible interpret Bible. Everybody say that. Bible interprets Bible, okay? Don't let man interpret it. You got to let Bible interpret Bible. So we're going to look at the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church in 1 Thessalonians here in a little bit. And the rapture, the word rapture, some people say, well, it's not even in the Bible. Well, yes, it is. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. That word caught up in the Latin translation of the Bible, it was rapturo, where we get the word rapture from. So rapture is derived from the Latin translation. The Greek translation is harpazo. And I said this jokingly last Sunday, if you remember. I kind of like the word rapture better than God harposes us out of here, right? It's kind of like sounds like a harpoon or something, you know, God harpoons us. But the word harpazo in the Greek, it has four different meanings to it. It means to carry off by force, to claim for oneself eagerly, to snatch away speedily, or to rescue from the danger of destruction. And so here's how it goes. Rapture means caught up in the air. The second coming, the Lord Jesus Christ puts his feet back on the earth. So the rapture is when we meet Jesus in the air. The second coming is when Jesus puts his feet back on the earth. So there's the rapture, the seven-year tribulation, and then the return of Jesus. That's Bible interpreting Bible. For every prophecy about Jesus' first coming, there are 8 about his second coming. And the 260 chapters of the New Testament containing 318 references to the second coming of Christ. So you have the rapture again. The rapture, the 7 years tribulation, and then the return. Last week we talked about the rapture as a signless event. It's going to come, the Bible talks about like a thief in the night, like in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. People are going to just be carrying on business as usual, and then boom, we're out of here. Amen? So it's a signless event. Now, the biggest sign, I talked about this, the biggest sign that we have seen in our generation was before my time, but it was back in 1948, in May of 1948, when Israel became a nation. Jesus himself said, when you see that sign, that is the signpost of all signposts. That generation will not pass until the coming of the Lord. Now, how long is a generation? We don't know. You know, some say 80 because, you know, live 3 scores or whatever and add 10, 80, and, you know, 100. We don't know. There's differing opinions on how long a generation is according to the Word of God. But Jesus himself said that generation will see the coming of the Lord. So it's a signless event. It's a surprise event. I don't think it's going to be a surprise to us. I think we're going to have a no. That's why God wants us to understand the times and the seasons that we're in. And then it's going to be a sudden event. It's going to be sudden. And so how the rapture is to impact our lives, we need to live with expectation, we need to live with dedication to the Lord, and we need to live with preparation. This is one of the greatest witnessing tools that you can use to tell your family about this event. The imminent return of Jesus Christ is life's greatest stimulus package for living a consecrated, dedicated, and prepared life for the Lord. Now I'm going to read, I don't have these up on the PowerPoint, but I'm going to read the scriptures that I ended with last Sunday. And this is out of Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, and this is where it talks about the rapture being our blessed hope. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, okay? If you go to a church, I'm just going to say this about, I'm talking about the big C when I say this. There's a lot of demonic doctrines coming into the church. And one of them is this, what I call like sloppy agape, this greasy grace, this, when you get impacted by the love of God and the grace of God, what that does in your life, and I know what it did to me, and it doesn't happen overnight. The Holy Spirit works on each one of us individually, but what it starts doing is it starts training you to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly living in this present age. That's what it does. It trains you to do that. That's the grace of God doing that. If you've got some other grace, you don't have God's grace. I'm just telling you that. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Verse 13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, that's the rapture, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That's kind of a review of last Sunday, okay? There's my introduction. Now today, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, I'm going to give you, if we get through all this today, I'm going to give you 10 pre-tribulation rapture truths, okay? We believe, with Bible interpreting Bible, that the Lord is going to come back pre-tribulation. Not mid and not post, but pre. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here for tribulation. In fact, I've already had enough tribulation in my life. I have. And I don't need to experience God's wrath and the judgment and the unleash of hell on this planet. I don't need that. And the good news is God doesn't want his children to go through that either. So here's number one. Only, and I wouldn't have to type out pre-tribulation rapture every time, I put PTR. Everybody good with that? Okay. Only a PTR protects us from God's wrath. Only the pre-tribulation rapture does this. And this is scripture. We're going to let Bible interpret Bible. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul teaching the church at Thessalonica this. And he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Even then, in the church 2,000 years ago, they were believing that it was an imminent return, that Jesus was going to come back at any moment. Amen? Okay. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming. That's talking about the tribulation on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. God's saying, I'm gonna take you out of there. I'm gonna keep you from. He's gonna keep us from that. He's not gonna keep us through it. He's gonna keep us from it. Letting Bible interpret Bible. All right, here's number two. Only a pre-tribulation rapture explains how the world could be experiencing business as usual when Christ comes. Okay? And this is in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's going to be business as usual. It's pre-tribulation, rapture, business as usual. And after the rapture, it is not going to be business as usual. If statistics are right, I'm just going to think, and want you to think about this. Here's another little thing. This is a little sidebar here. A lot of people say, well, we don't even see America in prophecy. And I have a feeling, I think I know why, is because in this nation, they say 1 in 3 are Christians. If that is true, that means there's 300 and some million here in this nation. That means 100 million people are going to be gone in a twinkling of an eye. Do you not think that this world is going to go into absolute chaos after that? That's what's going to happen. But before that, business as usual. After that, it isn't going to be business as usual. Everybody following me? Okay, Luke 17, verses 34 through 35. This is Jesus again. This is another sign of the rapture. He says, I tell you, and I don't know how anybody can read this and not see that we're going to be taken, that there's a rapture involved. This is Jesus himself speaking. I tell you, in the night there will be two in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together, one will be taken and the other left. It's talking about the rapture of the church. I'm teaching you this because I want to be a good pastor and tell you the truth. Amen. Because there's a lot of churches, and I'm not bragging on us and saying we got it all right. I'm learning and growing all the time. But there's a lot of churches that won't even touch this. They won't even touch the book of Revelation. And the only book in the Bible that says when you read it and receive a blessing is the book of Revelation. All right, so I think God wants us to know, wants us to pay attention to it. Here's number three. Only a pre-tribulation rapture make space for the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. He says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. You know what's going to be going on while the 7 years of tribulation are going on here on this planet? Is we're going to be having a 7-year wedding banquet with the Lord. That's what's going to be going on for believers. It's going to be awesome. Jesus even said this in John 14, verses 1 through 4. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. I love this marriage supper of the Lamb. I need to do a whole teaching on this sometime. But I just want to give you a few things about this marriage supper of the Lamb. By the way, guys, we're living in the last days, the end times. And there's characteristics, and there's a whole other teaching I could do on this, the characteristics of the last days. One of them that's going on right now is we have men and women. I'm going to tell you this. I didn't have this growing up. I never did see this, never even heard it. But I turned 54 in my 50s, and now we have people on this planet that don't know if they're man or woman. That is demonic. That is evil. That's this unleash of the enemy that's going on right now. And it's deception is what it is. It's leading people astray. And here's what I don't like about it, is it's not just tolerated, it's celebrated. Yeah. Yes. That's how far we have fallen. We're celebrating that. It's time for people to speak the truth. Got to speak it in love, but you got to speak the truth. You're not a man. You're a woman. You're not a woman. You're a man. You know, and then when people stand up and say that, they get stones thrown at them. And so we're living in a day and age where sin and all this nonsense is being tolerated, not just tolerated, but celebrated. Yes. Okay. So now let me say this, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is really good. I love this. Just as a Jewish groom, so you got to understand the Jewish culture, the Eastern culture, when they talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just as a Jewish groom would leave his home, travel to his bride's home, and pay a bride price, also known as a dowry, this is what Jesus did for us. He left his heavenly home, came to earth, and paid our bride price on the cross with his own life. Just as the covenant was legally ratified by sharing wine, Jesus shared the Last Supper with us. And just as the groom returned home to prepare a place for his bride, Jesus returned to his heavenly home to prepare a place for you. And he just said that in John 14, verse 3, what we read. And I love this. Just as the groom returned for his bride at an unexpected time, Jesus tells his bride, the church, to be ready for an unexpected return. And this is Matthew 24, verse 44. Jesus said, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. And I love this part about this. Just as the groom eventually did return to bring the wife home and consummate the marriage, a consummation that lasted, listen to this, for 7 days, Jesus will return to consummate his marriage to the church during the 7 years of tribulation. Love it. We're going to be enjoying a marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years. I don't understand the timetable in heaven. I think it's different than here on the earth, but that's what we're going to be doing up there while all this stuff's going on here for 7 years. Okay, here's number four. Only a pre-tribulation rapture explains the absence of the church in the great tribulation of Revelation. And this is chapters 6 through 16. There is nowhere in there. This is why I do not believe in mid-trib and post-trib, is because there is nowhere in there that you see the church. It's gone. And so the word church is used 19 times in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, and then it's completely absent. And Revelation chapters 4 through 21 describe the great tribulation and do not mention the church at all. Not only that, but in chapter 4, John is caught up into heaven when, listen to this, the Bible says that John, the apostle John, is caught up into heaven when he hears something like a trumpet. Does that sound familiar? Okay. And the church is raptured in chapter 4, which perfectly explains its absence on the earth during the great tribulation. We're not going to be here. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17. That ought to give you hope. That's why it's called the blessed hope. That ought to encourage you and comfort you. You know, as you see, and what the deal is, guys, I wish I could say that this world's going to get better and better and better. It's not. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And as we see it, it's getting worse and worse. It's, in my lifetime, I've seen it get worse and worse and worse. Another thing that I've seen in my lifetime that the prophet Daniel talked about was that knowledge would increase. I've went from CDs to Wi-Fi, okay? I've went from 8-tracks to Wi-Fi. Yeah, I remember 8-tracks, okay? I'll never forget my daughter. And then growing up, and my daughter, the first time I'll never forget this, she was about 4 or 5, probably about Jarek's age, and she saw a record for the first time, like a record player. You know, her mom and I was like, well, that's a record. That's a record. And Taya looked at it, and she goes, that's the biggest CD I've ever seen in my life. So we've seen knowledge increase. Prophet Daniel said that's what's going to be happening. People going to and fro. He's talking about, you know, our transportation, planes and all that. We're seeing all the signs are there. Then this world's getting worse and worse and worse. But as that happens, the church is going to get brighter, brighter, and brighter. And that's how he comes back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command. You want to be able to hear this. What I'm about to read to you, I don't know if the whole world's going to hear this, but I know if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you're going to hear this on this day. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel. Not only is Jesus going to yell, an archangel's going to yell, and then there's going to be the trumpet of God. You're going to hear three sounds, and it's going to be awesome. And this white boy is going to be able to jump that day. Amen? And it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. So if you have a loved one that has passed on, they're going to meet you in the air, okay? Then we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always, here, listen to this, not sometimes, but we're always going to be with the Lord from that time on. Always. And I love that when the dead in Christ will rise first. And I know I've said this and I'm going to keep saying it because I just told a family that this morning that has a loved one has passed on, that was a Christian. They're going to meet her in the air. I've got a son that has passed on. I'm going to meet him in the air. I've got a mother-in-law that I can't wait to meet, Darlene, because I never got her stamp of approval for marrying her daughter. She's going to give it to me in the air. And everybody said, amen. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to be the biggest family reunion you've ever seen in your life. It's going to be a great celebration. And the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be, there's going to be a seven-year party in heaven. It's going to be, and we're going to see loved ones, and we're going to fellowship, and we're going to have reunions, and we're going to be with the Lord. It's just going to, I'm ready, guys. I'm ready. I'm going to tell you what, this pastor is weird. I'm tired of doing funerals. I'm tired of it. I have to do one this week of a precious, and I thank God that I had the opportunity to baptize her a year ago because I know where she's at. I'm going to meet her in the air. But I was preparing this message and knowing of what I've got to do this week after I share this message, I was just like, Lord, I'm tired of doing funerals. But I thank you, Father, that you called me to be a pastor and you've given me a grace to do it. But I'm tired of doing them. I'm ready for that place where there's no more death and no more sorrow and no more weeping. Amen. Okay, here's number five. I had to put this one in there. Only a pre-trib rapture makes common sense. Okay, and because God did think, I mean, there's things in the Word and we got to study and show, but God said, for the love of God, use your noodle, you know, use your brain, use it when you're studying the Bible. That's why God gave that to you. And according to the post-tribulational rapture view, but listen to that, this is how I think, okay? This is how, when I study and how me and the Lord jive, and listen to this. According to the post-tribulational rapture view, post, not pre, when Jesus returns, we will fly into the clouds to meet Jesus, only to fly back down for the battle of the Armageddon. What's the point of being raptured into the sky if you're only be coming right back down? And when I wrote that out, I was like, God, I get supernatural whiplash just thinking about it. That's not how it's going to happen, okay? All right, just had to throw in a little common sense at number five. Number six, only a post-tribulation rapture explains how Christ's millennial kingdom will be populated. There's a lot of people that don't even believe in the millennial reign of Christ. Yeah. I do. When I read the book of Revelation, it's there. It says it over and over and over about the millennial kingdom of Christ. He is going to be on this planet. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's literally going to happen. That's not allegory. It's not metaphorical. That's literally going to happen. And so the solution for the pre-tribulation view is simple. The millennial kingdom will be populated by resurrected believers who were raptured and returned to the earth with Jesus at his second coming. It will also, now listen to this, it will also be populated by unresurrected believers who survived the great tribulation, of which there will be a great multitude. There's going to be some people that don't make the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they're finally going to wake up when tribulation hits this earth. And they're going to say, you know what? Grandma was right. They were right. That preacher was right on that Sunday when he shared that message. And I should have got right that day. But I'm gonna endure through this because I want to be saved. I want to see my family again. A lot of them are going to be martyred. But there's going to be some that are going to be martyred by the Antichrist. There's going to be some that's going to make it through it. And this is in Revelation 7, verse 9, and then verses 13 through 14. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" Verse 14 says, I said to him, this is the Apostle John speaking, he says, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So there's proof that there are going to be some believers, that they're going to become believers during the tribulation, and they're going to make it through it. But there's going to be a lot of martyrs too. Gradually, now listen to this, this is why this millennial reign of Christ, gradually these unresurrected believers will have babies who have babies who have babies, think 1,000 years, some of whom become unbelievers, further populating the millennial kingdom with people who will ultimately rebel against Christ, and that's in Revelation 20. That's a whole other teaching. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9. So I do believe in an actual physical, there's a lot of people that don't. There's even a lot of churches that teach that, that don't believe in a 1,000-year reign. And I don't see how you can, because I believe the Bible literally. Are there things that are, symbolism? Yes, but I also believe the Bible literally. When it says 7 years, it's 7 years. When it says 1,000 years, it's 1,000 years. All right, number seven. Only a pre-tribulation rapture distinguishes properly between Israel and the church. Now, if you want to know the real reason, yes, we escape the wrath of God. We escape the great tribulation and all those things, and that brings us comfort and hope. That's our blessed hope, brings us comfort and encouragement. But the real reason why the Lord raptures the church out of here is so he can deal with Israel. Because Israel, during this tribulation time, is going to have one of the biggest revivals they've ever had in their lives. They're finally going to wake up to who the true Messiah is, and it's Jesus. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. So the church, now listen to this, the church exists because of Israel, but the church does not exist to replace Israel. We do not replace Israel. There's some people that teach replacement theology. That's not there. That's nowhere in Scripture. Israel and the church are two distinct peoples with two distinct sets of promises and two distinct redemptive plans. That's why this is called what we're in right now. If you're alive right now and breathing, you're in what we call the church age. But there's going to be a day that's over. The church age will be over when the church is raptured out of here. And then God can deal with Israel during that time. And everybody said? Okay. So, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. Here's number eight. Number eight. Only pre-tribulation rapture depicts Jesus as capable of coming back at any moment. Because if you don't believe in the rapture, then you're going to be sitting here waiting on the tribulation. Then you're going to know, okay, he's fixing to come back in 7 years. No. Only the pre-tribulation rapture depicts Jesus as capable of coming back at any moment. That's what the Apostle Paul taught back in his day, and that was 2,000 years ago. Because the last days started when Jesus ascended into heaven. And we're still in the last days now. But we're closer than we were 2,000 years ago. So when you see the last days in the Bible, it's talking about a period of time. And we're in the last of the last days. This is Jesus speaking. I always try to give you the scriptures that Jesus said. I love going to the Apostle Paul and his revelation of this mystery, but I always go back to what Jesus said in the Gospels too. Jesus said this, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Okay, so we're not going to know the day or the hour. I believe we're going to know the season, and we're in that season. Be on guard, he says, and he's telling this to disciples, okay? He's not. I just want you to understand this, guys. He is not telling this to unbelievers. He's telling this to his disciples. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. So we've got to be on guard, and that what we need to be on guard against is about sin and deception and all the lies that the enemy is unleashing right now. And we need to speak the truth that a man's a man and a woman's a woman. I'm on that one today for some reason, because that's all we're hearing about right now. And I'm not going to tolerate it, and I'm not going to celebrate it. And I'm not going to celebrate and tolerate homosexual marriages. I'm just not going to do it. Those people need freedom in Jesus. That's a perversion. That's a perverse spirit that they need free from. And if you're struggling with that, it's okay. You need to go get help. come to me and I'll get you the right help that you need. Yes. But you need to get set free. We're not born that way. You're never born that way. I had one I loved what one pastor's response was, because he had somebody really combat him on that and said, well, they're born that way. They're born that way. And you know, this is what he said. You know what? He goes, you know what? You're right. They are born that way, because we're all born into sin. Yes. But that's your sin. It's not mine. Yes. I don't have that inclination, okay? But if you do, God can set you free. Yes. I've had God set me free of so much stuff, guys, and he's still setting me free to this day. Amen. All right. Here's number 9. Post-tribulation rapture best explains who the restrainer is. All right. A lot of people miss this, and the Apostle Paul taught this. He said in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 7, he says, and you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. That's talking about the Antichrist. There's something restraining this man of lawlessness. Now, the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of lawlessness is already at work. But this person that the Bible talks about in Daniel and Revelation hasn't ascended into power yet, but he will. And then there's only one thing that's restraining him, and you know what that is? It's us. It's the church. But it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit in us that's doing the restraining. For the mystery, in verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. When are we going to get out of the way? When the rapture happens. And when the church is out of the way, the Holy Spirit is out of the way, and oh my gosh. That's where God is going to judge this earth. You read in Revelation. But also at the same time, all of hell is going to break loose on this earth too. What was restraining all that is going to happen. And you're like, my gosh, can it get any worse? Yeah. And you don't want to be here. Yes. You don't want to be here during those 7 years. So who is the he that is restraining? The fact that the pronoun he is capitalized tells you that it is God himself. More specifically, it is the Holy Spirit in the church that is restraining sin and evil in the world today. And that will continue until the rapture occurs and God's restraining force in the world will be removed. Guys, I'm sitting up here and I'm thinking, and I'm teaching you guys, and I'm seeing a lot of young faces in here, but I'm thinking about my grandkids back there too. That they've got to know this truth. They've got to understand this. Because they're being raised up in a world to just tolerate and celebrate everything underneath the sun. Yes. And they've got to know what's holy and what's righteous and what's godly. And we've got to be preachers of righteousness to our kids and to our grandkids and everyone that's around us. And here I'm going to end with this. This is the number 10 proof. Only a pre-tribulation rapture comforts us. If I was up here teaching you post-tribulation and saying, guys, we're going to go through 7 years of hell on earth, and we're going to go through the judgment of God too, is that comforting? No. I mean, it is not. I'm just trying to be practical and just common sense. That is dirty dirt. That is not comforting. Only a post-tribulation rapture comforts us and encourages us. All right. I'm going to say this because I feel like somebody needs to hear this. Is there was a guy that wrote into Pastor Jimmy, and I listen to Pastor Jimmy a lot, Pastor Jimmy Evans, who wrote Tipping Point. He has endtimes.com, and I encourage you guys to subscribe to his ministry, The Tipping Point Prophecy, because he gives you updates of what's going on in world events and everything and how it correlates with Bible prophecy. And he always, and I'm on his email list, so there's like one email that he sends out that talks about people that wrote in and asked a question. And so this one guy, it was a guy that wrote in and asked this question. He said, Pastor Jimmy, he goes, I'm in a dilemma. He goes, I'm saved. I know I am. I know the Lord, and I love him. But I have a problem with vaping. And he goes, I just want to know, if I'm vaping when the Lord returns, am I going to go? And I loved how Pastor Jimmy spoke truth, but they didn't love, and just told him, yes, you're going to go if you believe in Jesus. But he was letting him know that we all have vices, addictions that we struggle with, and all those things. But he encouraged him, now keep walking with the Lord, because you're going to be set free from that. Because Pastor Jimmy even told him the story about how the Lord set him free from smoking. He goes, I finally woke up one day and said, you know, sitting around smoking a cigarette and telling somebody about not going to hell and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior didn't look very good, you know. I just, you know, that's it. And I can't stand in a pulpit and smoke a cigarette, you know. And he said, now you're not going to go to hell for it, but you're going to smell like it, you know. And he made it very comical and very humorous to this guy, but he was just letting him know, let the Lord keep working on you, because this guy was convicted about vaping. He's like, I'm vaping, and I'm trying to quit, but I can't quit, and I'm afraid the Lord's going to return, and I'm not going to go because I got a vape in my hand. And God was like, just chill out. I mean, Pastor Jimmy's like, just chill out. God's got you. And just because you're convicted about it tells me that you're walking with the Lord. And so I thought that was really good. But only a post-tribulation rapture comforts us. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, and I'm going to read this. Tuesday, I read it at every memorial service, every funeral that I do at the graveside, and I read that passage of Scripture out of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, that talks about the rapture of the church, and then the Apostle Paul ends that passage of Scripture with this, therefore comfort one another with these words. And I love it when I'm able to stand over a casket that I know that that person was a believer, that they're in the presence of God, and there's going to be one day when that body is going to be resurrected. And I met with Krista and the family on Thursday night, and I'm going to have to share this. Krista, we were sitting there, and I said, what was Amber's favorite worship songs? Amber Walton. And I said, what was Amber's favorite worship song? She goes, Pastor Mark, I'm going to tell you one of them. She goes, and I just don't know if it's appropriate funeral song. And I said, what was it? And she goes, it's, what was the name of that song? No, Rattle. Yeah, Rattle. It's the Rattle song. And I said, that can't be any more appropriate. And so that Tuesday, you're going to hear Rattle. And I want you to think of this Scripture, because that's literally going to happen. And her kids are going to meet her in the air. So, and I'm going to end with this right now. And this is something that was Pastor Jimmy wrote in his book, Tipping Point. And I want to read this to you, talking about only a post-tribulation rapture comforts us. He says, why is it so important to me that you know you won't see the horror of the tribulation? I have the same motivation that Paul had. I want to comfort you. I want you to know God is overflowing with grace and mercy. His love for you knows no end. Believers, we will not experience the tribulation because our God has not appointed us to wrath. He will not judge us along with the world. We are already part of his new creation, not the old one. He will come to rescue us in the rapture, just as he delivered Noah and Lot. We will not go through 7 years of hell on earth, where billions will die and those who live will endure unspeakable torment. No, you and I will be marrying Jesus in heaven. We have nothing to fear. And I love that. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And for some of you, you've heard this taught before about the rapture of the church, or some here that's never heard this before. And I want to make sure that I just want to encourage you, if you are a believer, to stay ready, to be ready, to let God's grace keep training you in godliness and holiness. Stay hooked up with the Lord. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, man. Don't forsake. I know there's times we miss church because we're sick or on vacation or different things come up, but don't get in the habit of missing church, because the Bible says as you see the day approaching, stay hooked up with the church. Every time you're here, you receive strength, you receive encouragement. Being around other believers, you need the body of Christ, you need a family of God. Also, I just hope that this, as Christians, if you're a Christian here today and a believer, I pray that this message would comfort you and encourage you. God doesn't want us living in fear as his children. We don't need to live in fear. And I know we're going to see things get worse. I'm just telling you. But don't let fear creep in when you're watching the news or hearing about things happening and stuff. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Just know that that day is coming. We're going to meet the Lord in the air and comfort and encourage one another with those words. And then I'm also speaking to people here today that maybe they're listening online and watching online, or they're going to listen to this message on the radio next Sunday, is you may be sitting here and saying, Pastor Mark, I don't know if I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You know, I've been to church several times, but I just never have, you know, committed my life to him. I've never, you know, asked him to be my Lord and Savior. and I've never confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so this message is for you today, and I just want to encourage you, today is the day of salvation. Today, put your faith in Jesus. Today, trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer, because Romans 10 said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's it. And then the Holy Spirit goes to work on you, like I talked about, and He starts cleaning you up. He starts training you in God's grace and doing those things on the inside of you. And so I want to have the honor and privilege of leading you in this prayer. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I know we've got, you know, and I always, as a pastor, I'm always thinking about our people that serve in children's ministry and nursery, and because they're back there going, when is pastor going to be done? You know, sometimes they're like that. I'm just going to be honest with you. And but I want the team from Liberty to come up here and stand right here in front of me, or the worship team, Kim, you as well. And I want them to come up here, and I want to pray over them. Jada, will you come up here? Y'all just come up here and stand in front of me and hold hands. And I just feel like I need to. And where's that microphone at? Is there, yeah, Taya, is there one of them handhelds? Go get yours. Okay. I didn't know where Patricia put that one. Because I just want to pray prophetically over this group this morning, and I feel like I feel like there may be somebody else here that has a word for this group, and so I want you to be obedient to do that if you have one. And that's why I'm getting this other mic. I just felt that earlier, that it's not just me, that the spirit of prophecy is here, because the Lord is here. And I just want to speak over this group today. And if you feel like you have something, I want you to come up here and I'll hand you the microphone. All right. Just want you, before I pray, this church is in a transition time right now. And this is what you're looking at right here is a core of their church. Even though they've got other ministry teams that are out today, this is part of their core of their church. And so I just want to pray over you guys today. I just feel like, Father, I thank you this morning that when I woke up and I was excited because this praise team was going to be here today. And when Pastor Scott had called me about them coming on this date, we set this date like a little over, I think, a month ago. And Father, today is the day that they were here, and when I was up here worshiping and just leading us into your presence, God, I thank you for that. I felt your presence here this morning. I thank you that you're with them. And Lord, I know that this church right now is in a transition time. And they've been in a transition time for quite a while. And I just, the word that I just feel like I need to speak over you guys is in Galatians, where he says, don't get weary in well doing, for in due season you're going to reap a harvest. And Lord, I'm thanking you for, I'm just hearing the word supernatural supply for them, and finances, manpower as well. But you're going to be bringing the right people to them, Lord, that's going to be a part of this team. Lord, they're going to be able to get into this new building that they have very soon. But God, I'm just declaring supernatural supply in the name of Jesus. And I see that in finances. I see that in manpower. God, the team increasing in the name of Jesus. And Father, there's the other thing that I just feel like that I'm supposed to do this morning is I just break every word curse that's been spoken over this church, God, in the name of Jesus, over Pastor Scott and over Pastor Marquita, over everyone in this church. And Lord, even some of these curses have come from Christians, God. And so, Lord, I just pray that, and I say that as a warning to all of us here to watch our mouths when we speak. And so, Lord, I cancel every word curse that's been spoken over them, that it's not going to take light. But, God, your word, your blessing is taking light upon each one of them and over this church family, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that even to the ones that have spoken those curses, they're going to walk in love. And, God, I even see that some of those people are going to come back in Jesus' name. And they're going to, you're teaching them now how to receive them, just like Joseph did. Just like Joseph did with his own brothers, God. And so, Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you're doing a deep work in every one of their hearts individually, but also in their hearts corporately as well. And, Father, they're going to be a shining light there in Weatherford, God, in Jesus' name. I pray that past this dream that you gave Pastor Scott and Marquita back in the 80s, I think it was, when they planted this church, God, that it's not over, Marquita, it's not over. And so, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're putting wind in their sails today, Father. And so, God, we bless this church today. We bless Liberty Church today. And, God, I thank you and praise you for the reports that we're going to hear over the days leading up to the end of this year and into the first of the year, just of how supernatural supply is going to happen. And, God, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen here. Yeah, amen.
Father, I just thank you. And just agree with Mark and just this word that he has spoken, and even the word that you read, Mark, I believe was for them as well. And I just think that there's been a pruning for this time of growth.
Yes.
You have to take away before growth can come. And so, and I just even in the ministries, there's ministries that were done before that are going to be taken away, and new ones are going to be growing and coming forth, just like the vision. And I believe that as you guys are out, you're like these little lights. You know, you see streets. I see streets, and I see you when you're out, you're these little lights, and there's your mouths. It's like Pac-Man, kind of. You see Pac-Man going through, but your mouths are speaking the word of the Lord, and your actions are speaking the word of the Lord, and you don't have to be. God is giving you the city.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
And I think because it's been such a fight and a struggle to get past some of your own wounds, God says he's healing those wounds.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's opening your heart even and expanding you even bigger to receive the city. And you've already taken it, but it's just going to take some time. And it's just going to take some patience. And it's just going to take faithfulness, as you are already demonstrating. Stay faithful. Mm-hmm. Stay true to every decision you guys are making, even to the smallest ones of being here in Leedy, is making a difference.
Amen.
You are a difference maker. So keep being different to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you for these precious ones.
Thank
Just bless
you,
them and anoint them. Mm-hmm. Keep them different, Lord. Because
yeah.
It's making a difference. Name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else has something? Anybody? Okay. Let's give Liberty Church a big hand clap this morning. Thank you guys. Okay, I want everybody to stand up and join hands with your neighbor there, and then we're going to speak a blessing over you this morning. I was going to have you read it, but you put the microphone up.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Y'all have a blessed week. Don't forget about Wednesday night and being here at 6 p.m. for the shoebox packing party and stew and chili.